الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ما بعد، I highly recommend that the brothers stick around for this one. Unless you have some important obligations, please try to listen to this khutbah translation, because I've been waiting for this khutbah for the longest time. And I'm very happy, alhamdulillah, that the Shaykh addressed it today. In fact, we all need to listen to this reminder. So again, if you're leaving at this moment and you don't have anything important at home, try to listen to this one for the sake of Allah. This particular khutbah is about the day of Jumu'ah, something that we are experiencing at the very moment. He began the khutbah by quoting the ayah in Surah Al-Jumu'ah, wherein Allah Azza wa Jal says, "O you who have believed, if the call for the prayer on the day of Jumu'ah has been made, then hasten to the remembrance of Allah and abandon trade, business, that is better for you if you only knew." And according to the ulama, it's an obligation. Once you hear the nida, if you're engaging in business, then your business, the money you earn is haram, if you do it while Jumu'ah is being conducted. So we have to come. The day of Jumu'ah is a great day from the days of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which has abundance of virtues and specifications that is not found in any other day. It is the Eid of the week, in a sense that you dress up and you do things that you usually do on Eid. And it is a great opportunity to acquire a lot of good deeds and many blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The day of Jumu'ah, the nations which preceded us were unable to take advantage of it. Rather, Allah Azza wa Jal had favored this ummah by giving us the blessings of the Yawm al-Jumu'ah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, "We are the latter generation, we are the latter nation, but the first on the day of judgment, the ones who will supersede on the day of judgment." This is even though the people of the book were given the book before us. Verily, this day has been made obligatory upon them, but they differed concerning it. So Allah guided us to that day, whereas the Jews were guided to Saturday and the Christians were guided to Sunday. And this is something that is known today. The Sabbath is, you know, sanctified and venerated by the Jews, and the Christians, you know, they do the same thing on Sunday. In another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best day on which the sun rises is the day of Jumu'ah. On that day Adam was born, and on that day Adam was admitted to paradise, and on that day he was taken out of paradise, and on the day of judgment the hour will take place. Al-Qiyamah will be on the day of Jumu'ah. On the day of Jumu'ah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, part of his guidance was to magnify this particular day by mentioning specific acts of worship that can only be done today and cannot be done on other days. And a part of the sunnah was that during Salatul Fajr on Jumu'ah, the Prophet ﷺ would recite Surah Sajda in the first rak'ah and Surah Al-Insan in the second rak'ah. And if you read both surah, you'll find that the content of these two surah have to do with the creation of Adam, the life of this world and its insignificance, and the life to come. So it's a summary of everything. So it's a great reminder during Salatul Fajr. Now the Shaykh said, he will mention a bunch of a number of blessings or a number of virtues or reminders concerning the day of Jumu'ah, which we may be acting upon some and deliberately abandoning others, either while knowing or without knowing, whatever the case may be. Today we will fix it up. Today we will learn the sunnah concerning Jumu'ah, and bi'idhnillah, beginning next Jumu'ah, all these will be in effect. Some of them we can still do today, because Jumu'ah will remain until Maghrib, as we will mention later on in the khutbah translation. Anyways, among the blessings of this day is that Allah will forgive the sins of the slave between this Jumu'ah and the one that preceded, provided that he abandons or he stays away from major sins. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the five prayers, and the Friday to Friday, and the Ramadan to Ramadan will expiate the sins as long as you avoid the major sins. The kaba'ir, if you stay away from them, then the minor sins are forgiven between each prayer, between Fajr and Dhuhr, Dhuhr and Asr, Asr and Maghrib, Maghrib and Isha. and Jumu'ah, between Jumu'ah and Jumu'ah, Ramadan and Ramadan, as long as we avoid major sins. Major sins can only be expiated through tawbah, through repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now why is it 10 days? Because we learn from the deen that each hasana is multiplied by how many? By 10. So you'll be forgiven actually 10 days. 7 days and 3, as we mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf. From the blessings of this day, that there isn't a believer who dies on the day of Jumu'ah, provided that he's a good Muslim. Not anyone. A good righteous man who dies on Jumu'ah, whether it is the night of Jumu'ah or the day of Jumu'ah, then there's hope inshallah that he will be saved from the torment of the grave. He will be saved from the torment of the grave based on a narration Imam Ahmad rahimahullah. There isn't a Muslim who dies on the day of Jumu'ah or its night except that Allah will provide, will secure him from the trial of the grave. On this particular day, the end of the world shall take place. And it comes in a narration that, there isn't a creation of Allah except that it is afraid on the day of Jumu'ah that it may be the hour, except the humans and jinn. Everything which Allah created, even the animals, are panicking every Jumu'ah that this Jumu'ah could be the end of time. The only ones who don't care and could remember less or could care less are the human beings and the jinn, unfortunately. The Shaykh said it's amazing though, however, that how heedless and how evil some of the people are. They actually choose the day of Jumu'ah and the night of Jumu'ah for all the evil acts. And this is something that is worldwide. Friday night is like the worst night of the week. This is where all kinds of sin and disobedience. Even today, the concept is among the youth, the Shabab, also known as Kabab, if they're not really doing what the Shabab is supposed to be doing. On Jumu'ah, this is when they stay up all night, partying and going to whatever, corniche, whatever. They miss the Fajr of Jumu'ah and they come here, half sleeping, during the Salah. And the Shaykh will mention some more problems which happen. But some people specify this blessed day for their sins and disobedience and careless and heedlessness about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is amazing how the son of Adam can oppress and wrong himself to this extent. The Shaykh said, so slaves of Allah, have taqwa of Allah and give this day its right, its virtue. Do not abandon it. And hasten and be keen on the following things. First and foremost, we should send plenty of salat and salam upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the night of Jumu'ah and the day of Jumu'ah. Now here's the misconception. When does the night of Jumu'ah begin? It begins Thursday at Maghrib time. Because in Islam, al-layl yasbiqu an-nahar. The night comes before the day. Unlike the rest of the world. For the rest of the world, after Maghrib, it's Friday night. To us, it's Saturday night. This is why in Ramadan, when they sight the moon, when do we begin Taraweeh? The same night. Before we fast, it's already Ramadan, even though the day hasn't come. Because once the night comes in, Maghrib has come in, then it's officially the night of that day. And the day will follow it at Fajr time. So from Thursday Maghrib until Fajr, this is Laylatul Jumu'ah, the night of Jumu'ah. From Fajr of today, this morning, until Maghrib, this is Yawmul Jumu'ah. So our acts of worship began last night. During this time, we should send abundance of salat and salam upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He didn't mention that, but we all know you send one and Allah azza wa jal will send 10 upon you. What does it mean that Allah will do salah on you? Many people don't understand the concept. Salah, we pray to Allah. Does Allah pray? What is the concept? It is, as the ulama have mentioned, أَيَذْكُرَكَ اللَّهُ فِي الْمَلَئِ الْأَعْلَى, that Allah will mention your name among the angels which are closest to Him. When you do it once, you will get 10. So you mention, you say Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad, you get automatically 10 mentions among the angels from Allah Azza wa Jal Himself. And if you increase, Allahu Akthar, Allah is even more abundant, as it comes in some of the narrations. So we shouldn't deprive ourselves of this particular virtue. That was the first act of worship which we were encouraged to do. Secondly, the Shaykh said, be keen on praying Fajr in the Jama'ah with the Muslims, and do not be, do not waste your night so that you wind up missing Salatul Fajr. And needless to say, this is among the calamities which have befallen the Muslim Ummah. That you come for Dhuhr prayer, for example, or Maghrib, because it's work time, and people are trying to earn a living, you know, the masjid is full. Fajr time, when there's no need to wake up for money, then there's no need to wake up for Allah. This is the mentality. I will go to Salah because I'm working anyways. I'm tired of work, right? I'm waiting for the 1 hour break of Salatul Dhuhr because I just want a break from work. So some people come to the masjid early, not because he loves the Salah so much, he just wants to get away from work. But how do you know whether he is sincere or not? See him at Fajr time. Where is he? If he's sleeping, this person is playing games with himself. Because for the dunya, I mean, come on. If they told you have a flight, you had a flight at 3 in the morning, would anyone miss a flight because of sleeping? Some people their whole lives never miss a flight because they overslept. It's very rare. But Fajr, some people 3 days out of the week, you know, they pray at home, if they pray. Or they pray after the sun had already risen. These are all qualities of hypocrisy. These are qualities of nifaq. As the Prophet ﷺ clearly and explicitly mentioned, the most difficult heavy prayer upon the munafiq is the Fajr and Isha. And if they knew that they would find some bone with some nice tender meat on it, as it comes in the hadith, they would have come to the salah. In our day, in this day and time, if they told us there's a Mercedes for the first one to enter the masjid every Fajr, then some of us will be the first one every Fajr. Get a Mercedes, get a car, we will not miss it. But if there's no such thing, there's no need to come. This is a big problem. And let me share something with you. The disbelievers, some of them wake up every day at 4 in the morning. You know for what? To take their dog so it may defecate in the street. They have this commitment to a dog, that they don't want the dog to, you know, defecate in the house and get the place filthy. They wake up every day 4 in the morning and take the dog out. I will increase you. They take with them a plastic bag so they can clean after their dog. Can you imagine somebody cleaning the feces of a dog? They do it because of cleanliness. Something that we were supposed to do. Imatatul adha anit tariq, sadaqah. Removing harm from the way is sadaqah. Not only we don't do it, we throw things in the street. Some Muslims think because, you know, there are people working outside that clean, that makes it okay for you. You finish, you know, the Pepsi, just throw it out the window. You finish eating a candy bar, you throw it on the street. No. This is not from the Muslims. This is filth. The disbelievers refuse to do that. And if their dog defecated, they will clean after him. We the Muslims, who are supposed to be on the top of the world, in our adab, in our etiquette, our behavior, our respect to the environment, sometimes we act the worst. We don't wake up for salah, let alone wake up for a dog. And we throw trash on the street, thinking, wallah, the guy will clean it after us. Maybe he won't. These are things we need to change in our understanding. It's a sickness that has crept in, and it's so difficult to extract it now, because everyone does it. But the fact that everyone does it doesn't make it okay. We have to stand out. Those who practice the sunnah have to be distinguished from the rest of the general people. We have to adhere to these teachings of Islam. So my brother, don't sleep during Fajr. If sleeping late will force you to miss Fajr, do not sleep late. If you're praying at night, Qiyam, and your prayer at night will make you miss Fajr, it becomes haram on you to pray Qiyam. Because Qiyam is Sunnah and Fajr is Wajib. And you cannot get engaged with a Sunnah that will make you miss out on the Wajib. It's a very serious matter. So I hope no one will miss Fajr. And inshallah, Salatul Fajr will be 3, 4, 5, 20 rows. And not 20 jama'at. 20 rows in one jama'ah. Not the second jama'ah, third jama'ah. For people continue to come until shuruq, praying jama'ah after jama'ah. Shahada. In some of the madhahib, it is not permissible to establish another jama'ah in the masjid. Which is a very strong opinion. It is not permissible to establish another jama'ah. It's a very strong opinion. Because by doing so, the lazy will no longer have an excuse to come for the second jama'ah. And it will not divide the ummah. Some people don't like the imam, but they like the second imam who leads them every morning, as it happens in Aziziyah Masjid. So they don't care, say, okay, the second imam is even better than the first. So this opens the door for missing out on salah and dividing the Muslims. It's not okay. The only real jama'ah is the first. The reward of the jama'ah is with the first. The second one is better than you praying on your own, but not like the first one with the imam of the masjid. And these are things we need to instill in our understandings. Thirdly, come early to the salah. And before you do so, it is a sunnah to shower, clean ourselves, use the siwak, and brush the teeth, use the siwak, whatever. Put on the best clothes you have and the best perfume. And come to the salah, because this is a day where the Muslims meet and gather. And it doesn't make sense that we come, you know, we look on the day we go to work like the day we come to Jumu'ah. So the Jumu'ah has specific, specific dress code, if I may say. We wear the best clothes which we have. Or if we don't have many nice clothes, just all our clothes are the same, then we wear the clean ones. I mean, the idea is to be clean. Don't have to be fancy, 200 riyal thawb. Not everyone can afford that. But when we come to Jumu'ah, we don't look like every other day. This is the intent. At least the clothes have been ironed and have been cleaned, you know, in some way or another, before we come to Jumu'ah. Then we should come early. We should come early. You come every Friday. And you come early also. The Shaykh mentioned the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now the interpretation of this hadith is a little complicated, and the scholars have differed in interpreting this hadith. But the meaning of the hadith is as follows: whoever does ghusl on the day of Jumu'ah and causes another one to do ghusl, that's one of the interpretations, meaning after having relations with one spouse on Friday morning, tayyib, and then he comes early, extremely early to the salah, and he gets near to the imam. Now this is very important, because there's a huge misconception among the Muslims today. You see, that second backrest over here is more of a problem than a solution. It's a problem more than a solution. Why? It opens the door for people to miss on the first row, or even the second row, or the third row, in order to rest. Now, time out. If you're a senior citizen, you have back problems, then this doesn't include you. If you need to rest on something because you're old, you have back problems, barakallah feek. But some of the shabab, or some of those who have no problem, will deliberately sit in the back, and some will even go to the end of the masjid, you know, even though they come early. This is a misunderstanding. No one from the righteous predecessors would do so. The idea is, if you come early, you better be somewhere here in the front. It doesn't make sense that you come early and you even if there's one spot here, that you stand in the second row. Because the first row is not like the second. And there's a khutbah, a whole khutbah can be delivered on the virtue of the first row and the salah. It's enough to know that the Prophet ﷺ said, لا يزال أقوام يتأخرون عن الصف الأول حتى يؤخرهم الله في النار. أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. And it's a sahih hadith. Some people will continue to be negligent about the first row until Allah will delay them into the hellfire. It's a very serious matter. The best rows are the first rows. And that Allah's special blessings are on the people of the first row. He said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, لو أن الناس يعلمون ما في النداء والصف الأول ثم لم يجدوا إلا أن يستهموا عليه لاستهموا عليه. If the people knew what was waiting for them of reward in the call of the prayer, the adhan, and the first row, and the only choice they had was to draw lots, then they would have done so. Meaning we would get a bucket, put our names, Ahmed, Mustafa, Rabi' al-Akhirihi, and then we will say, we pull out the name, congratulations, Akhi, the only spot here is for you. If we knew the reward associated in this, the only way you can get your spot, we would have done so. Today, it's available. People don't want it. People sit there, and all the way in the back. And so the hadith says, Dana min al imam. He is close to the imam. The closer you are to the imam, the better. The better it is, and the closer to the sunnah. So far we have, he showers, he causes his spouse to shower, he comes early, very early, and then he is close to the imam, then he listens attentively. He listens attentively. Then for every step you take to, and you walk to the masjid, you don't ride. For every step you take to the masjid, listen to this. Every step, you'll have one year of fasting and 1 year of Qiyamul Layl. This is amazing, by the way. If you live just down the street, assuming 50 steps from the masjid, and you wake up one of these Fridays, early in the morning, you shower, you put on your best clothes, and you come early to the masjid walking. You come close, you sit somewhere here near the imam. You listen to the khutbah and you don't get busy with anything else. 50 years of siyam all day, all week, and qiyam all night will be written for you just because of these few steps to the masjid. It's a big reward from Allah. But how many apply? Now if we didn't know, alhamdulillah, now that we know, there's no excuse. But you have to be early. Not anyone can get this particular virtue. The Shaykh will comment later on. He said, some people unfortunately, you know, they don't care. They are sitting at home, you know, watching TV. As soon as they hear the imam, inna alhamdulillah, nahmadu nasta'inu, then he goes downstairs. You know, some of them start showering at the time they hear the imam giving the khutbah. Some of them deliberately come after the khutbah is given because he's too lazy. He doesn't want to hear the imam, you know, for 30 minutes, you know, gir, ishada. So he comes the last 5 minutes and the Shaykh said, he stands. He doesn't even sit down. He stands so he can wait for the iqamah once and for all, just get it all done with. And this is the reality. Look at the time when the imam is on the minbar. There are usually around 50 to 70 brothers in the masjid. 5-10 minutes into the khutbah, the masjid is half full. Towards the end of the khutbah, the place is packed. There's no place for you to sit down. The minority come early. The majority come late. What lazy stuff, man. So lazy. On Friday, what do we have in the morning? 12:30. If you sleep after Fajr, from 5 o'clock till 9 o'clock, this is a long time, 4 hours of sleep. Some of the ulama, every day he will sleep 4 hours only. We have slept already before Fajr, and after Fajr, sleep. The more you sleep, the lazier you become. This is what we don't know. You think your body needs rest? No, it needs to wake up. If you give it more sleep, it will require more sleep. So we need to stop the sleeping business. Really, by all means, 9 o'clock is around a good time to wake up. 9:30, you're ready for salah. 10 o'clock, you come into the masjid. If you don't have any other things. In the da'wah center where I work, now we have durus, tafsir, which we have every morning. We wish we can come earlier. But as soon as we finish, we come. But for those who don't have anything Friday morning, we should do otherwise. Right? Or just come to our class. At least you'll have a valid excuse to be, you know, to come around 11:30. Nothing later than that. And this is from the tricks of the shaitan, as the Shaykh said, that he will try to distract people from the great reward. Another virtue or benefit or reminder for Yawm al-Jumu'ah is the recitation of Surah al-Kahf. And we have a number of authentic narrations concerning Surah al-Kahf. One of them that the Prophet ﷺ said, whosoever recites the Surah al-Kahf on the day of Jumu'ah, it will illuminate for him light between the two Fridays. In another narration he said, alayhi salatu salam, it will illuminate for him light between here and Al-Baytul Atiq. Where's Al-Baytul Atiq? Way up there, in the seventh heaven. All this will be light illuminating from that slave until the heavens. When you recite Surah Al-Jumu'ah, Surah Al-Kahf, on the day or night of Jumu'ah. Some of the narrations mention Laylatul Jumu'ah, which is from Thursday Maghrib till Fajr. And some of them mention Yawm al-Jum'ah, which is from Fajr until the Maghrib today. So in other words, we have 24 hours to recite Surah Al-Kahf. There's no excuse that anyone will not have 20 minutes in 24 hours to get this particular blessing. Fourthly, Allahu A'lam, I lost track. Be keen on attending the actual khutbah and the salah, which is intended to praise Allah Azza wa Jal and magnify Him and declare His oneness and uniqueness, and reminding the people about the message of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and reminding them of the various things that are expected of them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever performs wudu correctly, then he comes to the Jumu'ah and he listens attentively, Allah will forgive his sins between that Jumu'ah and the next Jumu'ah an extra 3 days. Now here's an important addition. وَمَنْ مَسَّ الْحَصَى فَقَدْ لَغَى. Whosoever touches the pebbles. Now you have to study the environment. The settings back then, they were not sitting on this fancy carpet. They were sitting on actual pebbles. Dirt, sand, and pebbles. Now, the people have the tendency to get busy with something while listening to the imam. Specifically, if you don't know Arabic, it becomes even more difficult for you to keep looking at him when you don't know exactly what he's saying. So people have the tendency to play with something. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Man massa al-hasa faqad lagha." Lagha is from the word laghu. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. Now sometimes it means something which is unimportant, and sometimes it means something which is sinful and haram. In this context, according to the other narrations, if you get busy with anything, your reward for Jumu'ah is gone. If you start playing with your thawb, some people start playing with the button, some people take off their glasses and they check them out, some people play with their beard, some people play with their socks, the list goes on. Now, I'm not saying scratching. You may scratch, you may fix your eye, you may do something, but to get busy with something where you're no longer attentively listening, but you're occupied with anything else, you can forget about the reward of Jumu'ah. You don't have to pray Dhuhr, because you will pray with the Imam, but the reward for listening is gone. So let's ask ourselves, how many Jumu'ah do we actually have? How many Jumu'ah do we actually have where we listen to the Imam? And the Shaykh didn't mention this, but I can mention it to you. It's a sunnah to look at the Imam. Because this was more likely that you will not be distracted. You try. If you look at the Imam, then you'll be able to focus more. As soon as you look down, then the Shaitan will tell you, this is an Iranian carpet? I think this is Iranian carpet. No, this is Turkish. Then you maybe say, let me just check the fabric. This seems soft. And you will get busy somehow. The shaitan will try to trap you somehow when you look away from the imam with some other things that are all zakharif in the masjid anyways, makes it very difficult to focus. But if you look at the imam, then you have a better chance to focus. Even if we don't understand Arabic, we will get rewarded for striving to listen attentively to the imam during the day of Jumu'ah. In another narration, the Prophet also, you should not give the salam when you come in. And if somebody gave you the salam, you should not return the salam. If someone sneezed, you don't say, you know, Yarhamukallah, if he says Alhamdulillah. During Jumu'ah, we just listen to the Imam. We don't get busy with anything else. This is the wajib on every Muslim. Tayyib. So the Shaykh said, be careful of slave of Allah from wasting the reward of your Jumu'ah by getting busy and occupying yourself with things that are unimportant. And don't be, you know, complaining that the imam is taking too long or that you've been in the masjid too long. All this will actually be in the book of your book of deeds. And as long as you're waiting for the salah, then you'll be given the reward of salah. Then he mentioned the important hadith concerning coming early. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever does ghusl on the day of Jumu'ah like that of Janaba, meaning a whole shower, I'm not going to mention the details because of the youngsters over here, but you know what it is. Then he goes in the first hour, it is as if he has sacrificed a camel. And if he goes in the second hour, it is as if he sacrificed a cow. In the third hour, as if he has sacrificed a horned ram. In the fourth hour, a chicken. And in the fifth hour, an egg, mashallah. An egg. That's it. Now, once these are done, when the imam actually, there are angels writing down at the door the names of the people that come in. Pay attention now. Once the imam gives the salam and he sits down, then they will close the books and they will come and listen to the dhikr. Meaning if you come after the imam is on the minbar, as if you didn't come to Jumu'ah. No Jumu'ah for you. The angels will not write your name down. So look at the difference now between one who comes early and one who comes late. Both prayed, but the reward and the benefit and the nearness to Allah which is acquired is like the heavens and the earth between two brothers. They look the same, they dress the same, they're from the same place. But the difference was what? A couple of hours. A couple of hours, subhanallah al-azim. So we need to be mindful of this particular hadith. The ulama explained, it's as if you give sadaqah. Yani, the camel right now is around, as one brother mentioned last night, is around 4,000 or 5,000 riyals. The camel. So that's like you giving every Friday morning 5,000 riyals sadaqah for the sake of Allah. And a cow, the price of a cow, and the list goes on. That's not a joke. We can't afford this. If we wanted to do it with money, we can't afford it. But coming early, we can afford it. But look how the shaitan tricks us. Neither do we pay the money, nor do we get it for free.
and we want to go to Jannah. And we say we all want to go to Jannah, you know, we love Allah, we love the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tayyib, here's the door open, who's coming in? See, this is how we are tricked. We have statements that can contradict our actions. We have false hopes in the life to come, basing it on Allah's mercy, Allah's forgiveness, but we don't really do the effort which is necessary. This is major trick from the tricks of the shaitan. Then the Shaykh went on to make some reminders, very important reminders. If you come in while the Imam is given khutbah, do you sit down and listen or do you pray? Everybody knows that. By the way, the narrations are in Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ explicitly said, if you enter the masjid and the Imam is given the khutbah, then do not sit down until you have prayed. Now because of this narration and others, many of the ulama are of the opinion that tahiyyatul masjid is a wajib. Why is that? Fiqh, let's understand the fiqh. Is listening to the Imam optional or obligatory? You have to listen to the Imam. Would the Prophet ﷺ tell you to do something more important than wajib unless it was wajib? No. He wouldn't tell you to get busy with the sunnah when there's a wajib to carry out, because we know it's the other way around. Had it not been important, he wouldn't have commanded so. In other narrations, in Bukhari and Muslim, he actually was given khutbah, a man came in and he sat down. He stopped the khutbah. He said, Ya Fulan, such and such, هل صليت ركعتين? Did you pray two rak'at? He told him, قال قم, stand up and pray and make him brief. Now it doesn't mean that you pray like a chicken, you know, in 20 seconds Salah is done. It means you don't recite Al-Baqarah and Al-Imran. But in terms of tuma'nina, tranquility, saying the Fatiha, ending the ayat, and saying Subhanallah Rabbi Al-Azim with being mindful of it, taking time in ruku' and sujood, this is obligatory all the time, even during Jumu'ah. But it means that you don't pray, you know, the best prayer you have while the Imam is given khutbah. So this is a major mistake. People come in and sit down in the masjid while the Imam is given khutbah. And so what do you say about other times? This is why the stronger opinion, of course I know the madhahib are not really agreed on this issue, I'm aware of that. But that makes a stronger opinion that really any time you come into the house of Allah, you need to pray. The only exception some of the ulama have is Asr, the time of Nahi, the time of prohibition, and that's a valid exception. Otherwise, Dhuhr time, or let's say Maghrib time, or Isha time, you cannot sit down in the masjid without Tahiyyat al-Masjid. If he made the man do it during khutbah, then what do you think about any time else? Again, this is a fiqh position. If you don't agree with it, Barakallah feek. No one is imposing it on you. Secondly, do not travel on the day of Jumu'ah. Do not travel on the day of Jumu'ah after the time of Jumu'ah had actually entered. It is disliked that you go on travel on a journey after Jumu'ah has entered, unless you know that you'll be praying Jumu'ah on the way to your destination. Otherwise, do not initiate travel on that particular day. Thirdly, do not go over people's shoulders. Some people, they come late, but he wants the blessing. We say, Jazakallahu khairan. This is good that at least you're concerned about the first row. But not on the expense of stepping over the Muslims and distracting them in the salah, as many people do. So they go walking over people. Now, that shouldn't be done. And the Prophet ﷺ was given khutbah. He seen a man come in. He said, sit down. You have harmed the people. You have harmed the people. Now some of the ulama say, however, if there's a legitimate empty spot. Now some people just hope they will find something. But if you find from the door there that no one is sitting here, then you may come as long as you don't bother the people. If you find a way to come here, then that's yours. Otherwise, stay where you are. Do not harm the Muslims. It is very distracting that someone will, you know, grab you in the middle and go and put his leg over your head in order to come to this spot. A very common practice. It is not acceptable Islamically. Fourthly, this is a fitna. I can already tell this is going to cause some problems. But I have to say it, the Shaykh said it. I thought no one would ever mention this. There is no, N-O, sunnah before Jumu'ah. No sunnah before Jumu'ah, as in the four rak'at you pray every day before Dhuhr. Common misconception. Common misconception. I will give you the breakdown. Now, what happens today, all Arabs, non-Arabs, everyone. Once their first adhan is called, what do you see people doing? They get up and pray, thinking, I'm praying the four rak'at, you know, al-ratiba, which comes before dhuhr. And jum'ah is like dhuhr. There's nothing in the sunnah at all which suggests that. In fact, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, during his time, how many adhans were there? One or two? One adhan. When did the second adhan come? During the Khilafah of Uthman radiallahu anhu, when the Muslims became so many and they needed to inform the people about the time of Jumu'ah, then another one for them to begin. During the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one adhan. Now, he would come from his hujra, from his chamber, whether Aisha's or one of his wives alayhi salatu salam radiallahu anhu anna ajma'een, and he would come to the minbar, say salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, sit down, the muaddin will call the adhan and Jumu'ah would begin. Never was it narrated from any of his wives that he prayed anything at home or anything in the masjid. So where did the sunnah come from? From nowhere. Why some of the madhahib say that you should pray? Because the narrations did not reach them. This is a valid point. Many people say, how can you know Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah? How could he not know? Akhi, Imam Abu Hanifa was a man. He was in the wind, able to go all over the Muslim world and find out every narration that was ever said. There was no Bukhari, there was no Muslim, there were no cars, no telephone, no internet. If he's living in Basra, and somebody in Medina is narrating a hadith which he heard from the Prophet ﷺ, which didn't reach Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, does that mean that Imam Abu Hanifa doesn't want you to do the sunnah? No! It just did not reach him. Give him the benefit of the doubt. And the same thing can be said about Imam Malik, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Ahmad. They were human beings with limitations. Whatever information they received, they gave the fatwa according to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, with their main intent that your madhab is the madhab of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Never did they contradict him deliberately. We contradict them and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam deliberately by blindly following a madhab even when the sunnah becomes clear. This is when the problem becomes that we are now contradicting the Imam himself, who if he seen one of us and said, listen, did the hadith reach you? Say yes. But I'm following your madhab. He will say, why? Don't you know that my madhab is the madhab of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Don't you think I want you to follow the sunnah before you follow me? And they said this in their own words. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah said, it's haram for you to imitate me if you don't know on what basis I have my opinion. He said, if the hadith comes to you authentic, forget about my opinion. I'm a man. I say something today, I change my mind tomorrow. This is why his two students went against him in two-thirds of the madhab, because they were true followers of Imam Abu Hanifa. They learned from the Shaykh that the Sunnah is most important. Even if they wind up opposing the Imam, they knew that he would want them to go with the Sunnah wherever it may be. Today, we have been brainwashed in a whole other way as means of dividing the Ummah. So I'm a Shafi'i and you're a Hanafi, and so we don't get married, and you know, you pray this way, I pray that way. Why? This is causing difficulty amongst us. We should love each other and love the Sunnah more than anyone else. If we all learned the hadith and applied the sunnah, we wouldn't have as much differing. But this is from the tricks of the shaitan and the disbelievers to keep us divided. This requires a khutbah of its own. Anyways, there's no sunnah before Jumu'ah. What the sahaba did, however, they will come early in the morning and pray nafila. If you like to come at 10 in the morning and pray 2, 4, 6, 8, 20, 50 nafila, nafila mutlaqa, general nafila, the sahaba did that. But they wouldn't wait for the adhan and then pray the 4 rak'ah which we know. And so the niyyah here is what makes a difference. As for after Jumu'ah, as it comes in some of the narrations of Ibn Umar, if you pray in the masjid, you pray 4, if you go home, you pray 2. This is after Jumu'ah. We have evidences from the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I know some of these things are a little difficult to swallow, but inshallah you've learned by time that I usually give things that are difficult to swallow. Alhamdulillah, many people are swallowing them very well because they love the sunnah. We know that in the depth of our hearts we love the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So even though I'm going a friction against some of the things we were raised upon, still you find in your heart that the sunnah deserves some attention, and that we give up some of these old traditional ways in order to be in agreement with the sunnah. Now, fifthly, do not miss out on the last hour of Jumu'ah before Maghrib. The hadith says, there's an hour on the day of Jumu'ah. No believer, no Muslim is found standing in prayer to Allah, asking him, asking him of any good except that Allah will give him. The ulama have differed. One is the sa'ah. Some of them said it is from the time the imam gets on the minbar until the end. And the stronger opinion and most popular, it is the last hour of Jumu'ah before Maghrib. Between Asr and Maghrib. Meaning Asr comes in at 3:45. Right? Maghrib comes in at 7:05. From 6:05 to 7:05, this is the last hour of Jumu'ah, the best time for you to make dua. So it is recommended that we engage in dua one way or another, at home, in the masjid, whatever. But let's not miss out on this hour, because this is the hour, inshallah, where the dua will be accepted. Sixthly, some people consider the day of Jumu'ah the day of a vacation day, or the day of going out, the day of a picnic, the day of entertainment, and so on and so forth. And some people make it the day of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh reminded us that this is unacceptable. This is a day where we should remember Allah azza wa jal abundantly and try to seek nearness to Him. It's a one time opportunity per week. We should not let it go without taking advantage of it. Seventhly, do not specify fasting or prayer at night for Jumu'ah. Some people say, okay, because it's a good day, so I will do special qiyam on during the night, and I will fast on the day of Jumu'ah. The Prophet ﷺ explicitly said, do not single out Jumu'ah in qiyam or in fasting, unless it coincides with the day which you usually fast on. Then there's no harm. For example, you want to fast the 13th, 14th, and 15th of every month, Al-Ayyamul Bid, and they coincide with Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, then you may fast Friday. But to single it out is not allowed, whether in qiyam at night or fasting during the day. And he mentioned another narration where the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ walked in on one of his wives, and he found her fasting. He said, did you fast yesterday? She said, no. He said, will you be fasting tomorrow? She said, no. He said, then break your fast. Then break your fast, because this Friday should not be singled out in qiyam or siyam. Lastly, I'm sorry for the time we took. It is a sunnah to recite Surah Al-A'la and Surah Al-Ghashiyah during the Salatul Jum'ah, as the Shaykh did today. And of course there are many benefits and lessons in these two surah. Now, just to give you an overall summary of what was mentioned. This khutbah is extremely important for us to act upon, because this is the only time where we see each other. I doubt that each of us here see each other on any other day except Jumu'ah. You may see some of the brothers in some of the salawat. Some people pray at home, some people, you know, ila akhri. The only time where we can meet in this fashion is on the day of Jumu'ah. Now if half of us are asleep and the other half don't care, and you know, there's not going to be a community. There will be no community. The only way we could be a community is by all of us having the same conviction, determination, and keenness on following the sunnah. So let us take advantage of these reminders from this coming Friday. Come early to the masjid. Take the first row. And not only Jumu'ah, every salah. The most important transaction that we undergo and undertake in any day is salah. These five prayers, we should not be heedless about them. We should be keen on praying in the first row, every single salah. If we do so, then the mercy of Allah is vast. And you will not believe what kind of blessings you will receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ask Allah azza wa jal to make you and I among those who listen to the reminder and follow the best of it. As I promised you, I only have 20, unfortunately, they are producing more. I have 20 DVDs of the lecture, A Typical Day in Ramadan. Just so we will know what the day in Ramadan should be like. I guess we can go to the back of the masjid, those are interested in getting a copy. In the back of the masjid, in the area where there's no salah, where there's the one office. And if you wish to get a copy, then I only have 20. So if you don't get one, I'll try to bring in next Jumu'ah. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَ الْحَمْدِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ. جَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا.